Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, September 15th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, what exciting times for the online world and mobile devices. You got phones exploding, iPhones without headphone jacks, hacked emails. Who knows what the Russians are up to? What an exciting time we have. And good thing we have an expert in the studio today. Cliff Rohde is here. Cliff is of Goat Cloud Communications, and he is here to answer your question about all things online. So the number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program voxpop@wamc.org. We talk computers and online, and it'll be very exciting. Just hang around after the news, and we'll start the show. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We have a computer expert. Well, this really isn't a hardware program. If you want to install a hard drive or this and that, this really isn't that show. What we have here is an expert on things like privacy and security and social media. Cliff Rohde is here to help you make sense of all that stuff. Cliff is the owner of Goat Cloud Communication. He's passionate about the intersection of communications and technology and helps many different types of businesses, nonprofits, and individuals thrive online. He's been deploying technologically strategic things to advance real-world goals since the late 1980s. Built his first website in 1996. That's the Dark Ages. Cliff's specialties include messaging, web design, deployment, technology, coaching, online advertising, and measuring results. So the number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Cliff Rohde, welcome back to the show.
Well, Ray, it is a treat to see you.
And you see the new technology here in Studio A since you've been here last. Now you can see the names of the callers on the screen.
I know, I like that.
It's a very small font, so get out your telescope.
It is very small.
Yeah. But don't worry, I'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
So we got these Samsung Note 7s exploding. What's up with that? Let's start with that.
Well, yeah, that's pretty exciting. It's apparently there are problems with the battery. And so the company has issued this massive recall of their flagship phone to get them back, to fix them or to replace them, as the case may be.
Now, how long will the replacement take? I can see some very irritated owners here.
Yeah, no doubt. And not to mention, you know, when you have a recall, does everybody really take part in it? You know, you've seen on the web there are videos about people's trucks on fire after their phone explodes or kids got burned or supposedly airlines are starting to ban them.
Yep, the FAA issued regulations last week or the week before.
So it's crazy.
So
don't put it in your pocket, Ray.
Okay, but this is only when it's charging or just randomly? It could like one of those what do they call hoverboards exploding?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but apparently Samsung has put together a fix that they're going to be sending out over the air, or a sort of fix, to limit the type of or the amount of charge you can get on a battery to 60%. So I think it's really when the battery is fairly charged or charging, you know, up to capacity that it's the real problem.
So these are the batteries or the actual unit itself?
Well, I mean, it's 6 to 1, half dozen the other. You can't really remove batteries very easily from phones these days.
And that's as far as I'm concerned, that is a problem and it's not right.
I agree with you. It compels you to get a new device when your battery runs out, right?
Yep.
Why not just get a new battery? You can't.
And so this is common across the industry now. In the old days, you got a phone, you could pull the battery out. If you had to reset it, do a hard reset, you pull the battery out, you put it back in.
No problem.
Yeah. Right?
Drop your phone in the toilet. Get a new battery.
I know people who have done that, and they dry them out, and they work all right.
Sure.
The iPhone, now the news is, I don't know if this is confirmed, no headphone jack?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, you know, Apple argues that it is a testament to getting higher fidelity in what they can deliver sound-wise. Also, it saves space. They use the same jack for, well, there's a couple of different options. One is you can use the same jack to charge that you would use for a brand new set of Apple headphones that you plug in. Or, you know, they encourage you to buy a nice $150 pair of wireless headphones.
Is that what it's all about? Another thing that has happened since you've been on, and we've sort of been following this from afar, Twitter going to allow more than 140 characters. This is big for people like you, Cliff.
I think the world has stopped, basically, when something like that happens. Yeah, so now you can include people's names and images and things like that that'll not take up the 140 characters that you have to tweet.
Hmm. All right. This one came in via email, and then we'll get to the phones. The phone number is 800-348-2551. This is from Dan, and I'm not sure this is your this is in your wheelhouse, but we'll give it a shot. What is the best antivirus and anti-malware to use for a PC running Windows 10? There seem to be so many different options, and that's certainly true.
Yeah, that is a terrific question. And a lot of people, well, let me start by an answer that doesn't exactly answer the question, which is to say, don't put on more than one, because that you can really run into problems if you have more than one antiviral program operating on your computer.
As a real-time monitor.
Yeah, they kind of traipse over each other, and they can really bog your system down.
Yeah.
I use the antivirus software that comes with Windows.
Really?
I do. It seems to work just fine. Every now and again, too, I will run a separate scan using... what's it called? Malware, anti-bytes?
Malware bytes.
Yeah, malware
right.
bytes.
Right, and so, but that, if you get the free version, is not running continuously. It's not
That's
a real-time
true.
Monitor, so
nope.
that wouldn't bollocks up your system.
That's true. You just have to remember every now and again to go in and do it.
And update it.
But, you know, Windows, if your computer is connected to the internet and you have your updates set up so that they will update regularly, your Windows antivirus program will update all the time in the background. And you definitely want to make sure that the program and the virus definitions are being updated on a regular basis. You know, but there are other free versions out there too.
Yeah.
And I'm drawing blanks
That's okay.
on them.
It's good to do your homework and sort of see what the reviews are and check it out online before you jump on a third party.
Yeah,
product
yeah,
like that.
And none of them is going to be perfect.
Nope,
either.
Nothing is. Let's go to Gina in Goshen. Gina, you're first.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've been banking online for quite a while now, and I'm actually rethinking doing my banking that way because I'm feeling like I could be hacked at any time. And so, what's your thoughts about security and just being safe online while banking?
Sure. Well, you know, actually, Ray and I are wondering about that deposit you made the other day.
So. That's not true. It's not true.
No, you know, there's absolutely no solution, whether it's completely taking yourself off the grid or completely taking yourself on the grid and having every single security precaution in place, that is going to mean that every situation is always protected 100%. You know, if you're going to be banking online, some basic rules of the road would be to make sure that the computer that you're using ideally you're going to be doing this at home. You're not going to be doing this at the local coffee shop because there are problems with security over, you know, free Wi-Fi, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that your computer programs are all up to date. The operating system is up to date. We were just talking about a security, antivirus mm-hmm. security programs are up to date. Make sure everything is up to date because those updates often correct security flaws. You want to be using a solid password. I'd recommend mm-hmm. one at least 18 characters long. You don't want to use that same password with other accounts that you might have online. A great thing to ask your bank about if you're not using it already is what's called two-factor authorization. And so what that does is as you attempt to log in, what it may do is either send you a text message over your phone. That's a little bit less secure than using a software on your phone like a Google Authenticator, which will give you a provisional like 6-digit code
yeah.
that will only last for a little bit. But, you know, a lot of people bank online, and there are precautions you can take that make it reasonably safe.
All right, Gina, thanks a lot for the call. Over to Paul in Woodstock. Paul, you're on. Hello, Paul, are you there? No, Paul is not there. I apologize, Paul. We'll go over to line three. And David, who is driving in Saratoga, I hope your hand's free. David.
Yeah, I'm not using my hands to drive.
Good. Well played. You're on.
I have a question. I got a phone call yesterday. Number withheld. somebody from Windows contacting me stating that somebody's trying to get access to my computer.
Yes.
Is that a normal thing that they would contact us for?
Well, it might have been the person next to that guy sitting in the cubicle. No, you know, it's not typical that somebody from Windows, well, first of all, it would be somebody from Microsoft, but no one from Microsoft is going to call you, I really don't think. It would be highly unusual that that could happen. Sometimes with these scams, what happens is people will give you a call and be rather alarmist about one thing or another and try to get you to divulge different types of information about logging into your system. It's social engineering, really. People use that all the time for all different types of scams. If you have some sort of problem with your computer and you can identify the software, let's say, that you're having that problem with, then go to the website, find the actual number for that software company and give them a call yourself and see if you can troubleshoot the problem.
But it's very unlikely Windows, first of all, identifying themselves as Windows would be a tip-off.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you do get these same bogus calls from people who say, hey, we noticed there's a problem on your Windows machine. We're from XYZ company, and we'll help you out with that.
Yeah.
And for $40, you know, or worse.
Did you do anything about it, David?
No, I didn't do it. They called me back later in the evening because I wasn't home, and I'm computer illiterate.
Yeah.
When they called back the second time, I still couldn't do anything anyway.
Yeah. I'd be careful about that one.
I told him to forget all about it.
Yeah, sounds pretty suspicious.
David, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go over. Whoops, wrong button there, Ray. Let's go to Sarah in Beckett, Mass. Sarah, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I had gotten an email from my internet service provider, supposedly, can I mention the name?
I suppose.
People PC.
Okay.
Hello?
All right, okay. We're listening.
Okay, sold to Earthlink. So now I get an email from Earthlink that I don't have enough memory for all the emails I have, and I need more. So I called by phone my internet service provider, and for $2 more a month, I am good. I have more megabytes of memory, and I can get more email. Is that – I really don't understand why that happens, but at $2 a month, it was okay.
What do you think, Cliff, before we take a break here?
Okay. Email tutorial 101. So there are two different flavors of email, basically. There's what's called POP and IMAP. And so if you have IMAP, or even if you have POP, your email might just be staying on the server owned by what is now Earthlink. There might be settings within your email software, whatever you use to check your email, to actually remove those emails from the server.
Huh.
And you could potentially reduce the amount of space you need and forget about those extra $2.
Save the $2. Sarah, thanks for the call. We'll take a break here. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Cliff Rohde is our guest, and we'll be right back.
From Curran Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. National compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance carriers and their distribution partners. CurranCompliance.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making, and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Watercolors by Edith, Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Edith Hunsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. edith-hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We talk computing and social media and whatnot with Cliff Rohde every so often, and today is that day. Cliff is the owner of Goat Cloud Communication, and we go to Ed in Schuylerville. Ed, you're on with Cliff.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you
all
doing?
Right.
Okay, I've had recently a blurb come up that says updates are available. And it usually comes up in the lower bar that's allowed for various functions.
Yeah, lower right, sure.
Yeah, and I click on it, and it says there are 13 for Internet Explorer updates.
Yeah.
And I click on it, and the green bar starts to roll, scroll across the screen. And the counter never starts to move. Hmm. It just says 0%, 0 kilobytes. Hmm. And I wait, and I wait, and I wait. So I went on the Internet, and I looked it up. And it says to go into services.msc and stop it, and then restart it, and then go back and try it again. Which I did. It didn't change anything.
Hmm.
But at the bottom of the page, there's a guy that says, just wait as long as you can, and then go click on start, and then click on stop. So it's a shutdown, and the shutdown will tell you that it is doing whatever it's doing, and it will shut down after it's finished.
Okay.
Which I did. And I got two of those, supposedly, to load, but the third one did not. Actually, and there were 11. So I've done this a number of times. This thing will not load. I can't get any of the stuff to load, and I don't know if it's affecting my computer or not.
Well, I got a question for you, and then I'll let Cliff handle it. First of all, What version of Windows are you talking about, and also how old is your computer?
Okay. It's an old computer. I'm running Windows 7.
Okay.
It's an old laptop. It's an older laptop. I mean, it's not extremely old. I've got an older one down in the basement, and I never have any trouble with that at all.
How old is old?
Well, it's got to be at least 5 years old.
What about your internet connection?
My internet connection is with our fabulous service that we have around here.
Is it cable or DSL or fiber?
It should be fiber.
Okay. Hmm. Well, that shouldn't be.
And I've had them in because I have had problems with TV reception, and they have checked the service out. You know, so I know there's nothing wrong with the fiber optics.
You know, what you could do, Ed, is go to the Windows site, write down the name, the number of the updates, and download them to the hard drive.
Right.
Then take it offline and install them. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's the thing I didn't try. I'll try that. Thank you very much.
All right.
That sounds like a very logical answer.
Well, since I gave it, it probably won't work, but give it a shot.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Well, you see, Cliff, I'm here to help as well.
Boy, you're taking my job.
I'm sorry,
right?
Man. I'll shut up now.
No, that's all right.
Let's go to Lee in Ulster. Lee, you got to talk to Cliff now. I'm going to be quiet.
Okay, Ray, I'm not talking to you.
Fine.
I have a question. I'm a grown-up. I now have a phone where I can be texted. People who text me images do it. I keep getting these things from, I guess it's iCloud. When I try and open them, I get a whole list of things I'm supposed to give permission for. The program wants to access my Gmail and access my profile. Is there any point in denying that? Because if I don't accept, I cannot, in fact, download what's been sent to me.
That's like way too metaphysical for me, really.
What? You want me to answer another one, Cliff?
Well, it's a great question, but I think you kind of are answering it, which is to say, if you want to see those pictures, go ahead and give those approvals. If you don't want to see those pictures, don't allow the app to do what it's asking you to do. I mean,
this is a common enough app, this iCloud. It doesn't matter that I say yes if I'm not exposing myself in some Possibly, I don't know about?
No, I'm not going to say that. I mean, there was a big problem with iCloud, in fact, a while ago with all the celebrities who got hacked.
Yeah.
And their images came out on the internet that were not supposed to be on the internet. You know, with every kind of app that's out there, there's a trade-off, a balance between convenience on the one hand and security and privacy on the other. You know, the more fun these things are, then the more integrated they are with all the different functionalities that a phone, you know, which is just a little computer, of course, has to offer. Now, I mean, you can try with some of this, like denying certain things and see if it still works.
But Lee,
so far, if I deny any of the three or four options that are presented,
right,
because they all come up at the same time on one page, if I deny any of them, the pictures, I get an error message and the pictures don't open.
But Lee, I mean, you should be able to text images back and forth with your friends if you're in fact actually texting without you. I have iCloud turned off on my phone. I don't even bother with it. But I get images all the time from my friends. I mean, you should be able to do that.
And that's the second question, right? You know, the short version is I am not inept, but I am certainly not up to other people's ability. I didn't want to be unreasonably cautious if I'm going back to people and saying, I don't want to open on this program, send it to me some other way. But if in fact there's been problems with it, then in fact that's what I'll do. And I'm very grateful for your time. Thank you both.
Hey, thanks, Lee. We appreciate it.
You know, it brings up a great point, too, Ray, in that, you know, Apple, not just Apple, but they really want you to use the services that they provide. So if it's an Apple user to another Apple user, they really want you to be using iCloud, and they try to make that happen.
Oh, yeah. And for instance, the camera on your iPhone or your later iPhones, automatically your pictures, unless you turn the setting off, will go to the cloud.
Yeah.
When you take them. I don't want that. I want them on my phone. I'll download them when I'm ready, and I'll put them in a folder. And so you can do a lot of adjusting on the settings on your phone. By default, you will be going to that cloud
yeah.
a lot of times.
A lot of times.
Let's go to Jim in New Paltz. Jim, you're on.
Hi there, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Right.
Good. I got a text from a 5-digit number, and it said that a blockchain payment had been received and a dollar amount, and then I needed to confirm the payment, and there was an email address to go to confirm the payment. Now, with a little research, I figured out that blockchain is Bitcoin.
I was going to guess.
And
yeah.
I do not deal with this in any way. I'm just wondering, is this a scam trying to get me to go to that email address, or is somebody using Bitcoin and got... they just texted the wrong number? Do you know?
Could be either of those things.
Yeah, really could be.
If it smells funny, I suggest it's probably funny, but it could be a mistake.
Yeah.
Could be a wrong number.
Yeah.
Did it happen more than once?
No, it was just the one time, and I did not, of course, go to that website or that email address.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I, if you're not engaging in Bitcoin transactions at all, I would just delete that and move on.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Thanks, Jim. We appreciate the call. Boy, interesting calls today, huh?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Are you overwhelmed, Cliff Rohde?
Well, you know, it's this whole thing about thriving online, Ray. Or surviving online, even. And I wanted to say in that regard, actually, that I am the healthiest online consultant
what do you
that
mean?
Is out there. Well, that just seems to be in the news these days.
So you've released your weight and cholesterol and such?
Absolutely. Now, I do take fish oil pills, but I figure they're loaded with mercury, but that, you know, having heavy metals in my system
depends
makes me indestructible.
Depends on where you get the fish, obviously. All right, well, thanks for that. Let's go to Kim in Stockbridge. Kim, you're on.
Hi. I would love you to resolve an argument between my husband and I. So this is about security online with making a purchase. Is it safer to use a regular credit card like American Express, or is it okay to use my bank debit card that's a MasterCard?
Huh. Mm. What do you think, Cliff?
Which one of us is click and which one is clack?
I'm out of this.
Okay. Do we ask which one of you thinks which is which, or should we avoid that?
Yeah, don't ask.
Okay. So I tend to think that a credit card is your best bet. Because you are protected with a credit card if there are shenanigans that go on. With a debit card, there is the danger that someone could drain your account, and then that money is gone. Now, you might have some protections there, but it's a lot easier to deal with credit of yours that somebody messed up than it is to deal with people taking all the money out of your bank account.
Interesting.
You know, what some people do is they will have a special card or account created specifically to use online. And maybe they want it to be a debit. Maybe they want also to be able to use that at, you know, different ATMs or something like that, but keep a very small amount of money in it, and you're assured that you're never going to be on the hook for a huge amount.
What about PayPal?
Okay, so even though it's my if it's my bank card or it's my bank account, but even though it's a debit card, a MasterCard, it's still they can get to my account.
Potentially. What I would say is talk to your bank and ask them what they recommend as well.
Okay. Super. Thank you.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Cliff Rohde of Goat Cloud Communication is here today. And let's go to David in New Paltz. David.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for doing a good job there.
Thanks.
Listen, I'm a 75-year-old guy, computer illiterate. I'm waiting for the computer that comes out like on Starship Enterprise with Captain Kirk.
Talks to you.
That hasn't happened yet. I'm still waiting. But in the meantime, what computer should I buy that's the simplest and easiest to use, that I can get email and set up some sort of website and stuff like that?
So a simple starter computer. They're getting simpler and simpler, I think, as far as being intuitive.
I would agree with you, Ray. I mean, you know, for a long time, Apple got very high regards for being just the easiest to use. You just turn it on and it looks beautiful and you can understand what you're doing. But really, you know, Windows computers have come a long way. Usually they're much less expensive than Apple computers. But even, you probably can't see here, David, but I'm showing this to Ray right now.
Oh, thank you.
I have this little Android tablet that has a connected keyboard that works as a computer for checking email and surfing the web. It's perfect.
I guess it depends on what you want to do, really.
Yeah.
I got my in-laws a Surface at one point.
Okay, so that's a Microsoft tablet.
Very simple, yeah.
Yep.
Touch screen and everything else.
Yep, touch screen. I think it's got a keyboard, or it's easy enough to get a keyboard. You know, if you're just looking to do really basic stuff.
Well, I'm an artist. I want to, you know, put my stuff on a website, you know, where people can see it and people can get in touch with me. And I can, you know, do Facebook and, you know, just get beyond the web, so to speak.
Well, so, you know, it sounds like if you're, you know, being a visual artist, then you're probably going to be taking pictures of your artwork, maybe you're scanning images of your artwork. So you want to be able to connect that, potentially, you know, but, I would say find out, figure out what your price point is. Take a look at the different producers, whether it's or manufacturers, whether it's Apple or really almost any Windows-based machine, or some of those tablets, like Ray was talking about a Surface from Microsoft. I was just talking about some Android tablets that are out there, and just see what feels good for you. You know, head over to your local big box electronic shop and try out different ones and see how they feel.
Okay, Android tablet.
Well, it's a good start anyway. Look around. You'll be amazed at what you see.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. We go over to Heather in Olive Bridge. Heather, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling in because the previous caller asked a question about the safety of a credit card versus a debit card, MasterCard.
Okay.
And I have a credit card, but I also have a MasterCard through my debit. And somebody did hack me and was spending money using my MasterCard debit card. And I had all the same protections. I was told, I got a call because it was unusual spending, and I had all the same protections. MasterCard covered it because so it was the same protections as a credit card.
There you go. Yeah. It's good to know.
So you're probably still, erring on the side of caution, but that's what I was told, and that was my experience, and I was completely covered.
Good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sometimes it's really just a question of, even though you're protected, what is your level of stress that you want to deal with? Because there is conceivably a difference with how you feel about my bank account just got depleted versus somebody just rang up $5,000 in charges on my credit card. With the credit card, you kind of think, well, I know that that's not mine. I'm getting rid of that. The bank account is like, oh, my God. All of a sudden, my money is gone. But that's great news that you got everything recovered.
Yeah. It was, wasn't a great experience, but the outcome was positive.
Well, thank you for the call, Heather. We appreciate it. It's a scary world, and we see in the news all of the hacking cases and the email, Colin Powell's email,
right,
and the DNC's email, and it's how easy it is for the Russians or whoever's doing it to do this. It's amazing. Seems like everybody's hacked.
Yeah, it really is pretty terrifying. And when you consider just how many records there are about us that are out there,
yeah,
that we don't even control. Even if we go through the most amazing practices to safeguard our information, maybe we have an account somewhere else and they're not, being as safe as they ought to be, and all of a sudden our information is out there. It is pretty terrifying, Ray.
Are there standards for companies to protect your information?
Whew.
Online commerce?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't fully know the answer to that question. I would say that if you are a consumer and you're considering doing business in an online capacity with some company, then you should look into their security practices and find out what they are and do they feel or seem reliable.
So much of it is gobbledygook to the average consumer, however. That's the real problem.
Yeah. No, and a lot of times, right, you get these agreements, use agreements, and you have to click that you agree with them to use the services of this company, and right, whoever reads those,
right,
you should, of course, but nobody ever does, and it is that dilemma or that trade-off again between privacy and security on the one hand, convenience on the other.
This is great irony. As we're doing the program, the computer that is showing us the phones shut down and is now doing one of nine Windows updates. So it'll be fixed by the end of the program. Let's take a break. Zach, the engineer, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Don't worry, the phones still work. We'll get to more calls after the break.
Support comes from The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, using food scraps and yard waste to create nutrient-rich compost to help conserve water and control weeds. Compost available for purchase. UCRRA.org. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses including Bevel LaFont and Pro Design, progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon, and Maui Jim, Costa, and Ray-Ban sunglasses. SHEEHYOpticians.com. The Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, a cultural resource for the upstate region, providing a teaching, recording, and performance venue with rental options available. Skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. And Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com, and on Facebook.
And welcome back to Vox Pop, 1-800-348-2551. Calling you on the carpet here is Vic from Burnt Hills. Said, first, it is virtually impossible that Microsoft is calling you about some issue with your computer. Well, we did say that, right?
I would agree with Vic.
Okay, but we said that.
Yes, we did.
Okay, Vic. And then, as for antivirus and Malwarebytes, I run the paid version of AG Internet Security and the paid version of Malwarebytes at the same time on both Windows 7 and Windows 10 machines and never had them interact. So, there you go. And, you know, but I think if you're running the active scan on two different systems, two different antivirus systems, why do it?
I wouldn't recommend it. It's probably slowing down a system.
I do have Malwarebytes on my machine, but not the active scan running. So I run it from time to time, and I have another program that runs all the time. And he's talking about passwords and taking us to task on that. Well, Vic, thank you, and I appreciate you listening. Back to the phones we go, and Bess in Guilderland. Bess.
Oh, yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes. When I go to register to get more information out of a site, say it's for product or just say it's register and you'll get more information or get what you're looking for, or when I go to make an online purchase, you very often have to add your phone number and your email address. And shortly after that, I'm getting all kinds of unsolicited mail and emails from the respective companies. And, of course, I don't like that. A while ago, I tried to put in a false email or a false phone number, and that kind of followed the whole process. Is there a way to circumvent the companies either selling the information like we're told that they do that, and to stop the consumer from getting all the extra emails from related companies and services?
Mm. That's a fantastic question, Bess. You know, I am I'm not a lawyer. There are laws about this and about unsolicited efforts to pitch to you, to send you emails, to call you on phones that are on do not call lists and things of that nature. Usually there is an out, though, for a company if you've had some sort of interaction with that company. And so, and, you know, companies are always looking for a way to get information about you so they can do exactly what they're doing in this case. You know, once you, you know, if you decide to have some sort of transaction with a company, one thing that you might think about is then approaching the company and saying, hey, I do not approve of you reaching out to me for various things, so take me off your list. I don't like that. And see what they say.
So how do you do that if it's an all online transaction, online situation?
Well, I would imagine they have some sort of telephone number there or email address, and you could try to reach out to them that way.
All right.
No guarantees that's going to work. But
yes, and leaving any one of those boxes empty doesn't work either, because very often they just pitch it right back to you and say you left out some information.
Indeed.
Convenience
versus privacy.
Email address or phone number, could that work too? Or have you had experience with putting false information in?
Oh, putting fake ones in? Oh, you know, actually, I have done that.
Oh, really?
I have transposed my phone number so that I don't get calls.
Well, you do.
Different places.
And it works?
Sometimes. I mean, if it's a place that I don't really care whether they call me or not, yeah.
I mean, you could always make an email account. There are any number of places you can make a free email account and just use that one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can
See how far you can go with incorrect information or false information.
Well, let us know next time, Bess. We appreciate that.
Okay.
Have a good day. And over to Charlie in Narrowsburg. Charlie, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. My quick question deals with Norton 360 or Microsoft Security Essentials. Which do you think is preferable to working with Windows 10 and the new Windows 10 upgrade?
Well, you know, Charlie, I like the Microsoft security solution. But you could try Norton, see which one seems to work better for you. I've sometimes found Norton to be a little intrusive. Sometimes Norton is a required download or a default download for some other software that you might get. Sometimes it comes shipped
on boxes,
on boxes, and is also always trying to upsell you stuff, which I don't like. But you know, I really don't know which one is better at solving the security issue.
I've read the online reviews and so on, and the Norton 360, which is a subscription, which I currently have and probably expires in 90 days, 100 days, but the Microsoft Essentials or Security Pack is free. But does it really do an adequate job for protection?
Right. Well, I'll tell you that one experience I just had the other day, actually. I was trying to help a client clean up a hacked website, and it was Microsoft was preventing the website from putting bad software on my machine.
Oh, okay.
So, but I mean, that doesn't mean that it's the, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread, but in that case, it was doing its job.
Because I also have an online business, and I just wanted to make sure that the payments and the schedules are all going to work together. And since Microsoft already comes shipped on Windows 10, that it should be a pretty good fit, and that supposedly more bug resilient than Norton's 360, which seems to also slow down the machine. I do just want to make one comment about the having your identity stolen.
Yeah,
I did have mine stolen. Mine was part of a laptop that was stolen out of the U.S. government.
Yeah,
I'm a military veteran, and my personal information has been locked out probably for 15 years. The government has supplied me with something like the paid subscriptions that you get through LifeLock and things like that. I was given a number by the government that I can call, but it was proven that mine was stolen through this laptop that was government issued.
Wow.
But here in the last couple of days, last month, one of my credit cards has been used twice fraudulently. They sent me a new credit card, and then again the new credit card was used fraudulently.
Wow.
So it was very interesting. Very interesting, the attacks here recently that have been going on, the fraudulent purchases. But anyway, I thought I'd share that.
Yikes. Well, I would double-check my internet security, my friend. Definitely do that.
Well, you know, and
that's why I'm apprehensive to change it now.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, a great related point that you're kind of touching on there, Charlie, is that if you are running any kind of small business, especially, you want to make sure that you have all sorts of redundancy built into the system so that in case something is compromised, you have a backup to go to.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. Over to Olga in Wappingers Falls. Olga, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, okay. I'm not a complete beginner on computers. I think I'm in the middle.
Okay.
And the question basically is, I have a Dell laptop, and something happened. I'm not sure, some hardware or something came on. It was my son's originally. And I want to use it, but when I turn it on, it's like loops around. It's going to start. It never gets to the desktop. And I took it to Staples or one of those stores, and they told me I need to, wipe out my hard drive, and they'll do it, and they'll install Windows 7 if I want, and all the updates. But they want to charge a hefty price. I think $160 or $180 is too much money. I would like to do it myself. If I had instruction, if I can find a tutorial or somewhere either online or anywhere else, a book that you can recommend or something, that I can do it myself, how to wipe out my laptop hard drive, and then I guess put my Windows 7 on. I do have a disk that you can use one more time, and then just load up all the updates for Microsoft. They say there's like 200 updates. I'm willing to leave it on and just let it do its thing while I'm doing something else for a day or two.
Well, reformatting a drive, possible? It's not that difficult, right?
Yeah,
in the old days, it was very easy to reformat a drive.
I don't know, you're a computer tech guy, but I don't want to take the job from this guy, but I don't want to pay $180 either. So if I could do it myself with instruction, which I need to know how, and if you can provide me where I can get this instruction, maybe a website online, maybe a YouTube video, I'm not sure. I don't trust YouTube 100%. I'm not sure those people that are on YouTube, if what they say is,
yeah,
actually works.
Right.
So, what do you think,
Cliff? Anybody can go on YouTube.
Well, it's funny because I was going to say two words. One is Google and one is YouTube. Actually, I would look at both of those places and do some research. And then what you want to look at, I think that you would probably find some support that would answer this question on the Microsoft website, considering we're talking about a Microsoft situation or computer, so or operating system. So, but also YouTube is a great place to find out information about everything. And don't necessarily distrust the people on YouTube. And in a way you can kind of check that is to look at what the comments are that people are leaving about YouTube videos, whether people are giving them thumbs up or thumbs downs. And you can get a sense of whether it's a legitimate bit of advice that you're getting.
Shouldn't be too tough to reformat a drive, but what about all the stuff that you want to save, Olga?
There's nothing that I want to save. It was my son's computer. He told me just throw it out, get rid of it. Don't bother, but it's a good computer. I mean, if I could just get rid of what's on there, start all over again, I'm good.
Can you do that? Could you do that in Disk Tools anymore, Cliff? I haven't tried it with Windows 10. Yeah. And XP, I could reformat the drive without a problem.
Yeah, it's been a while, I have to tell you. You just want to make sure, I think, Olga, you were saying you have this, is the operating system disk so that you can reinstall the software once you've reformatted. Usually it's just, it's just some DOS commands.
Hit F12, one of those as you're booting up, and then you get into that prompt.
Right.
And you can reformat the disk there.
Yeah.
I bet
yeah.
you could figure it out, Olga. Google will help you.
I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm not, like I said, a beginner, but all I need is instruction. Step one, step two, you know. I just need guidance, you know, because I learned computer on my own. The day I had Windows 98, I learned it on my own. I had XP, I learned it on my own. It's a lot of reading. I learned Windows 7. I don't like Windows 10, so I'm sticking with 7. And 8 is not good, so...
Yeah, I agree with you about 8. I like Windows 10, though. I must say, I do like Windows 10. I did not like 8 in any way.
I think there were a lot of problems with Windows 8. I don't know if they fixed it or not, but I'm just afraid to use Windows 10 due to the fact that I'm used to Windows 7, and it finally took me a while back in the day to learn Windows 7 from XP. It was a little different, but I don't feel like starting from the beginning again. So now I have the disks for the laptop. If I'm missing one, can Microsoft supply that for me at no charge? Or maybe I can call Dell and they have a receipt of, I have a receipt of my purchase. Would they provide something for me?
I would suggest going to Dell. I don't know if they're going to be able to give you anything, but that would
start
be a good
with
place
that.
To start.
All right, Olga, thank you very much. Over to Catherine in Stone Ridge. Catherine, you're on with Cliff Rohde.
Hi, sorry. I have a question. I'm somebody, I've been using PCs and laptops since before Windows.
Yeah.
So I'm very comfortable with those, and I'm being drawn kicking and screaming into the world of tablets and smartphones. And there are some things that I'm accustomed to seeing that I don't see in those things. Like, you know, typically when you buy a laptop or a desktop, the first thing you do is burn your DVDs. You have a backup operating system in case you have to rebuild, which I've had to do on more than one occasion. I see no way to do that with a tablet. I also, you know, I'm used to being able to load my programs where I want. You know, I direct it where I want it in the directory. And if I want a shortcut, I have it and I put it where I want it. And I can't seem to find that level of control with the tablet. Can you recommend any resource, website, blog, book, that helps me with this? Because I'm really, really frustrated.
Are you talking specifically about Android tablets or iPads?
Yeah, I'm using an Android, yes.
Okay. I think what you would want to do, and this gets beyond my level of skill, I'll tell you, but is research rooting your Android device.
Root, R-O-O-T.
Now, I will say, if you root a device and you don't do it in a correct way, you run the risk of creating what is called a brick, right?
What is rooting?
Well, rooting means you really get into the system behind the kind of the outward-looking operating system, and you can change things around that perhaps the manufacturer did not really want you to change around.
Okay.
But because you have root control, you can create your own environment there.
But it's
not for the faint of heart. Yeah, it's you run the risk of bricking your device and making it unworkable.
Because when you do this with a desktop or a laptop, worse comes to worse, you can always, you know, extract the drive, the either reload your operating system from
right.
from the disks.
Right.
Or if you're really, really desperate, you can pull out your hard drive and stick it in one of those external cases and plug it into another machine, reformat it, plug
yeah.
it back in, and you're off.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any way to do that with these devices.
Well, I mean, there are, you know, there's usually a series or a sequence of buttons that you can press that'll do a factory reset. So you can start
really?
Over from scratch. Sure, sure.
Okay, excellent.
But, you know, that's not going to enable you to... It's just going to start you from the like,
right.
how the device was the day you brought it home from the store.
Catherine, thanks a lot. All right, in the remaining moment here, here's an email from Eric who says, hello, I have encountered the same Microsoft Windows scam call as the earlier caller. Best thing to do is Google to look up the scams. This confirmed that many others had the same call. Also, Eric is disgusted at large corporations such as Apple with the iPhone jack deciding what features and functions consumers want. That's from Malcolm, actually, not Eric.
Yeah, you know, I was reading a report that Samsung was thinking, well, maybe we should get rid of the earphone jack,
I like
too.
My headphone jack.
You know, it's universal.
You know
it's nice.
I've had it with devices and phones and computers. I'm going to get a pad of paper, look for a payphone. I've had it. I've had it with computers, Cliff, and it's
okay.
your fault.
All right.
Maybe I'll have you back, maybe I won't. Support comes from ClipCentric Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.clipcentric.com. Larac, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972, with gallery exhibits and gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists, larac.org. And Curtis Lumber, specializing in deck and dock design, featuring Trex composite decking and railings, Playstar dock hardware, and more. Design consultation available. CurtisLumber.com. That's it. Cliff Rohde, well, maybe. Maybe we'll have you back. I don't know. Not
well,
sure.
It is always a pleasure.
I suppose I'll keep my computer for another couple of months, and we'll have you back on the show. Zach Malloy, the fully computerized control room board in there. Look at that. Fabulous. Deb Malik answered the phones in the old-fashioned way. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, what day is today? Thursday?
Food Friday.
That's right. Tomorrow's Food Friday, and how can you lose, right?
Well, cannot lose.
I think you could lose, actually. We'll find out. The news is next.